If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Our rock star today is Deontra Hughes, the founder of Spare. That's what the S means. Or does it mean Superman?
Oh, well, pretty close. Either one works for us.
Either one works for me. You know, we've all seen that, would you like money back when you put your debit card in? Mm-hmm. This is about, would you like money? No back. Deontra, welcome.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you for having me.
What is Spare?
Well, Spare is a community-based cash network. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, we set out to empower our merchants and empower our consumers. We realized that as the economic change, not just the economic climate changed, not just domestically, but internationally, there was a subset of the economy that was either becoming increasingly unbanked or underbanked. And so our goal, underbanked, meaning that you don't have access to the same financial services as someone else, perhaps in your same country. And so what we've done is we've created this network that has reduced some of the slack and inefficiency around the money moving or cash moving process as it exists today.
Mm-hmm. Is it like an ATM or?
Well, yeah, it's an ATM in your pocket, essentially,
right,
with the iOS.
Big pockets.
Yes, big, big pockets. No, what we've done is that lovely iOS device, that iPhone or the iPad that you have. Today, as far as banking is concerned, that mobile device gives you the ability to do almost pretty much everything. The only thing that was lacking until
Except
we came along.
Back.
Oh, yeah, right? But until we came along, the only thing that you could not do with your iOS device or with your mobile phone was have access to cash.
Right.
And so now we've completely given you the ability to do all of your banking inside of your mobile device.
All right. What was your first job?
So I actually
get into this in detail.
Yes. So I actually came out of finance. I used to work for J.P. Morgan. And somewhere along the way, I decided I wanted to be an entrepreneur. My grandfather was an entrepreneur, and
everybody says their grand was everybody's grandfather an entrepreneur.
Well,
most people come in here, and I applaud that.
Well, yes. Well, I believe, you know, at my grandfather's time, you know, entrepreneurialism was a very just natural facet of everyday life. And I think then we had this industrial revolution that kind of kicked in,
right,
and drove these very big businesses and very big industries, and people decided that they would rather be part of a company than own their company. Or the educational system came in and said, let's program people to build these Goliath businesses and these monsters of industry, rather than teach them to create their own.
Right, and let's take a voodoo doll and make sure they think 9 to 5 is
exactly
okay.
Yes, yes. And so I was very much inspired by my grandfather. Him and I were very close. And my father was actually in the military. And one of the things that my father impressed upon me very early on was go out, get your education. He did not push me in the direction of the military. He wanted me to go out and find my own path in life. And so, you know, from my father's encouragement of seeing his father be an entrepreneur and be successful, my father did the same thing for me. He said, look, you know, son, go out. And go after whatever it is and go down that path, because not many are built for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just very fortunate that I've had people in my life that have right. been very encouraging.
I'm from a Navy family. I was in the Army 3 days. A day to get in, a day to figure out how to get out, and a day to get out.
Oh, that's
but
great.
I have an honorable discharge and a letter from Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst job you ever had?
Worst job? Well, you know, my first job was I used to bag groceries. I used to work for a little grocery store.
You know, organizational skills.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, it was one of those situations where you could only move as fast as they would allow you to. And, you know, you could only move up as fast as they would allow you to, and the laws.
And by the way, if you do move up, that's a good business.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And so for me, you know, I was a hungry high school student, but I had some time on my hands. My parents said, go get a job. But I learned very much the very basic skills. But the toughest part about it was, I think, what we encounter now as adults is we sometimes have to swallow our pride. Sometimes there are just things that you have to do. And it was the first time that I came and I interact with the phrase, the customer is always right. And I think it's only the worst job in that category, because I don't think I've ever really absorbed that completely. I'm still very much, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong. And it doesn't really matter what your title is or what position you have. Right. There's a certain level of
decency. Is there a racial part of this? You never thought about that, did you?
You know, not really. But I did live in Yuma, Arizona. And so the grocery store was there. And so you're in this very Republican state in this little town. It's almost in the middle of nowhere. Not a whole lot of people have heard of it. Do I believe there's some kind of racial component to it?
Were you feeling like, I'm...
Very rarely.
And the black guy, the white guy.
You know, it's very interesting. I was very privileged in my growing up. It was very rare that I was exposed to a situation where I believe the other individual saw in shades.
Right, okay, so it was actually racist for me to ask that question. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. Deontra Hughes is our guest. He's the founder of Spare. A very interesting concept. So now as you're growing up.
Yes. Well, at least we try to, right?
Well, I'm never going to. But I don't know how to put it. Was entrepreneurship in the back of your head? Or were you one of these people like, I always wanted to be in this business and I made it happen? But were you always going, how do I get into this? How do I do this? How do I start up? How do I get the money? Where's my idea? Who am I going to, you know?
Yeah, well, I would like to say I hit a ceiling inside of corporate America, and
and it wasn't glass.
It was not glass. And really what it was is, I believe that you should always hunger for more. You should always have this desire to absorb more and to desire more. And I believe that I had learned as much as I could from the financial sector to where I could then go out and make a positive impact myself.
You know what's interesting about that is that you're smart enough to know that you had learned as much as you could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I never thought that in college or graduate school. I thought, man, these people are going to teach me stuff.
Right. But I wanted to learn just enough to make a difference.
Yeah, right. Got it. Do you have any friends?
I have lots of friends, yes.
Okay, most people say no.
So what's happened with friends, I have a very close-knit, small group of friends. So as a child, I traveled around a bit. So I was actually born in Tennessee. And then when I was very young, I moved to the Virgin Islands. Then my dad was stationed in Oceanside, California. Then we moved to Arizona. And then about 6 years ago, I moved to Los Angeles.
Right.
And so what I have been able to learn, there's some very interesting things that you learn when you're going through that constant shifting and process, is you learn
how to make friends.
How to make friends is very important, but it's also how to fit in very quickly to your environment so you're not the outcast. And so by doing that, you're able to find the genuine people when you move.
You know what? You're never the outcast. You're the interesting new guy.
Yes. Well, I remember when I moved to Arizona, my nickname was the Cali boy, which
could have been worse.
But yeah, it could have been a heck of a lot worse, right? We're talking about junior in high school when everyone's already made all of their friends. And so now you're coming into this new social environment. And so now you've got to make friends. And so I take that nickname any day.
No, absolutely. I can't remember if I had a name. OB, because O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
How do you... Do you have a family? Are you married?
No family at this particular time. I do have a significant other, someone that I'm very, very close to.
Okay. How do you balance work and your life?
So that's the tricky part. Mm-hmm. You know, they always say that, you know, the things that are important to you, you will make time for.
Sure.
I think as you go down this path of being an entrepreneur, it's very important that you find some kind of self-balance. If you do not, this process, this drive, this thing that you're going after can eat alive your relationships. Mm-hmm. And so it's imperative that you keep in mind and be sensitive to how much time that you're dedicating to your craft, to your passion, but also making sure that those...
So much quality time, so yes, you're learning while you're dedicated.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's very much quality time, but you also have to be cognizant and very aware that there are people that are connected to you. And it's very healthy for you to step away from your craft, mm-hmm, and interact with those very supportive and loving people that are just right there, whether they're a phone call, an email, a Skype session, right, whatever it may be, away.
What's the longest you've been without your cell phone?
Oh, goodness. I would say maybe 24 hours.
What?
Yes, a whole 24 hours.
You
right?
are Superman.
Oh, goodness. Well, there, you know, I went down the path of wanting to...
But people say, oh, I'm going to get off.
No. It's tough. 24 hours is tough. Are you
24
kidding me?
Hours is like 10 years.
FOMO is a real thing, right? And right, so that fear of missing out on what is happening, absolutely, in the world or what's going on with your friends and family and whatnot. But at the exact same time, it is such a relief. It is one of those beautiful things when you can go, hey, this electronic device that connects me to the entire world, I'm going to put you aside. And I'm going to focus on me, or I'm going to...
I have mine
here
between my legs when I meditate in the morning.
Just in case.
We're going to talk about Sparrow when we come back. A really interesting concept. And we'll get to that when we come back. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs like DeAndre. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. Back in a minute.
Hello? Anyone there?
Hey! United Healthcare heading your way!
Thank goodness.
Lost in the giant Medicare maze?
It's so complicated.
No worries. United Healthcare has the people, tools, and plans to get you through it, including the only Medicare plans with the AARP name.
I'm so glad you found me.
Need to find a Medicare plan? Get help now at uhcmedicare.com. AARP Medicare plans from United Healthcare. United Healthcare pays royalty fees to AARP. AARP is not an insurer.
BizTalk News wants to feature your business as part of our discovery feature, which highlights businesses that are not yet known nationally, but offer products or services that benefit BizTV viewers. Available in over 40 markets on broadcast TV and online via BizTVClub.com. BizTV wants to help get the word out about your business. If you're interested in having your business featured on a future episode of BizTalk Discovery, email us at discovery@biztv.com.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. Deontra Hughes is our guest, the founder of Spare. So let's talk about this. We're dealing in cash, and I think most people, when they want to get cash, by the way, welcome.
Well, Pat. Thank you. Thank you very much, Pat.
Dealing with cash, ATMs, like the thing, right?
Yeah. Well, it used to be.
Let's slow down. We'll get to it. But, you know, you decided to bypass that.
Of course.
How?
Well, that mobile phone of ours, it's attached to our hip. Right. And it only makes sense that what we're doing is logical. It's the only next step in the evolution. When you packed all those services into that little device that we have every day, why not bridge the gap between digital and physical? And that's what we're doing.
But aren't we doing it, like, for example, in a Starbucks, you do it?
Sure, but that's still, you know, that's in the payment of the goods. Mm-hmm. See, what we've done is we've applied that to the dispensing of cash. Mm-hmm. So we've said that the transaction.
Tell me how this works.
So the
What's one of your companies?
One of our merchants.
Yeah.
Yes. So one of the retailers. We have a great merchant in the Long Beach area. I think it's Paramount City, called Magic City. Mm-hmm. An individual by Gerald that runs this company.
And what's magic about it?
So he sells magic goods.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so that's his industry. And so somebody like myself, if I'm going down in that area, what I'll do is I'll open up my phone and I'll say, well, where's the nearest retailer that is willing to dispense $20 to me? And so our application is going to show you the merchants that are in that area. And then I'm going to send a request. So let's just say it's Gerald's shop. It's Magic City. And so I will send a request down to Magic City. I will walk in. I will be issued a one-time use barcode, a one-time use PIN. I walk and I'll authenticate with my device, with Gerald's iOS device. Once that authentication is complete, shown to be good to go, Gerald will give me the $20 and I will go on my way.
But you're dealing bigger figures than that.
Oh, absolutely.
What's $20?
You can't,
can't even get a fake thumb for $20.
No, not at all. But at the end of the day, what we're looking at is we're eliminating time. At the end of the day, time is money.
Right.
And we've all wasted time going to the convenience store to buy the gum, the gummy bears or whatever it is, just so we can get cash back. And I believe that's an absurd way to do things today. When convenience should be at a snap of a finger, that's what we're giving you.
Now, what does this cost you or the merchant?
So the consumer...
does the merchant have to pay you?
So the merchant is splitting the fee with us, or we're splitting the fee with the merchant.
What fee?
So as a consumer, so on that $20, I paid anywhere
between... Let's make it $100.
Let's make it $100. Yeah. Fair enough. So I paid $2.99 for that $100 transaction. Mm. The merchant is going to take a flat fee of $1.25 out of that. So that goes directly into the merchant's pocket for filling that transaction. And Spare takes on the rest and pays the processing and whatnot, but we house the rest of that fee.
So basically, you just lighten the workload to get money.
Yes. Yes.
Take bitcoins?
At this particular point, we are doing the testing to convert bitcoin to cash. And so we're very excited. In the next few weeks, we're actually going to roll out to certain domestic areas the ability for our consumers in those zones to tap in to that Bitcoin. And we understand that there's less than 1,000 Bitcoin ATMs worldwide. And there's this desire, this necessity to be able to cash that out, to liquidate that Bitcoin.
How'd you talk these merchants into it?
Oh, well, that's the easy part.
Was?
It was. It really was. Because we understood what it was that they needed. See, in the past...
What do they need?
Well, they needed increased foot traffic.
Okay.
They needed increased revenue. And they needed something that was more secure than an ATM. See, in the past, those merchants went out and they invested in those ATMs. And
they
did
never work anyways.
Right, but they did it with the purpose of achieving those three things, right? Additional foot traffic, additional revenue, and some kind of security around those kind of cash transactions. Mm-hmm. The unfortunate thing is the ATM industry has let them down. And so Spare has come in as that logical replacement.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs who may or may not need cash. All of you do. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is Business Rockstars. Deontra Hughes is our guest. What was the hardware that you had to get for this? I'm sure it's mostly software, but you know what I mean? What sort of schematic did you have to lay out for these people?
Well, the only requisite truly for a merchant, what they're required to have mm-hmm. inside of our system is they just need an iOS device, so whether it's an iPhone or an iPad, just some extra cash.
Right. By the way, iOS is that thing that you never download on your iPhone.
Yes.
And it has some
yes.
benefits. I think you're up to iOS 10.
Yes, yeah. Yes, they are.
Was it hard explaining to these people you're going to give cash to a stranger based on a barcode mm-hmm. that you're giving?
Mm-hmm. Right. The hardest part, so...
Sounds like Grand Theft Audio.
Yeah.
Well, or audio.
As a startup, mm-hmm. as a business today, you have to ensure that merchants trust you, the retailers trust you.
Yeah.
And it's a partnership. And so, you know, we've had salespeople when they go out, they're trained to be very accommodating, very, very, they understand what the merchant's situation is. Mm-hmm. And so what that does is that creates this very authentic relationship. Every merchant in our system, retailer agent in our system today has my contact information mm-hmm. because it's important.
How many do you have?
So we currently have over 700 merchants, and we just acquired a deal to give us an additional 15,000 domestically.
Now, what does the business get out of it?
So we're
by the way, I love this idea. I'm just
yes, no, thank you.
The business questions that they're
well, the greatest thing that we can bring to the merchants and our agents in the community is a connection factor. We're giving some small businesses like souvenir shops the ability to connect with millennials. Why would a millennial need to go into a souvenir shop? They buy everything online. And
yeah,
so
vacation.
Now, right. So now we're giving them the ability to connect with a demographic that may not otherwise come into their location. And so we've created this relationship between our customer base and our merchant base that's really self-supportive.
Mm. And you're growing too, right?
We are. We're growing.
So that's the testament that the idea is good, right?
Yes, absolutely. So we launched this application in August of 2016.
Is it an app?
It is an application, yes.
How do they find it?
So if you go to the App Store and you search Spare, SPARE.
It says you're Got Spare.
Yes, so the website is gotspare.com.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go into the Apple App Store and you search Spare, SPARE, mm-hmm. We should be the number one result there, a nice big orange S, and that's us. Mm-hmm. Today, you can't take Apple Pay to an ATM. And so,
right.
And so what we've done is we've given that millennial base of ours the ability to plug in digital wallets and have access to cash more frequently, a lot easier than before.
We gotta go, but what's the next step?
The next step is to take what we've done domestically and move it internationally. We understand that what we are doing is not just beneficial to one neighborhood or one subset of one state. It is the movement of cash is something that needs to be fluid across the globe. And that is what we're bringing. That is our value proposition.
And that was the beauty of ATM. It was a great way to get cash.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, for banks, if we look at banks, those small credit unions and whatnot, the ATM is usually the first way that a bank, a small community bank, gets into a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They go and they drop an ATM and they go, okay, we're claiming some territory. But when you're a small bank, you don't have the assets to go out and pay for ATMs. So what do? You partner with us. Because what we're able to do is give you the ability to expand beyond your physical limitations
right.
quickly.
Okay. It's called Spare. You can go on the app's called Spare.
The app is called Spare, yes.
Website is Got Spare. He's Deontre Hughes.
Yes.
Nice job.
Pat, thank you so much.
Way to go. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This has been Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. We'll see you next time.
And now, The Lens of Liberty. Here's Helen Creeble.
A student in Georgia complained that tests and grades were stressful, so the professor adopted a new stress reduction policy. Students who feel stressed about tests can decide their own grades. If they feel any stress, they're welcome to leave without explanation and with no effect on their grade. A stress-free environment may sound good, but life is not stress-free. A look through the lens of liberty reveals the vital importance of stress and risk and how to handle them. our American system limits the power of government because we believe ordinary people can govern themselves. But they cannot do so unless they learn how to take responsibility.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Now let's check in with Alex Worley for good reason. She's always got somebody great. Alex?
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley. This is Business Rockstars. And my guests today, Andres Izquieta and Dee Murthy, they are the co-founders of 5-4 Club. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So tell me, what is the 5-4 Club?
So 5-4 Club is a long journey. We started 15 years ago as an apparel brand. And in the more traditional wholesale and retail business. And about 4 years ago, we pivoted into a men's subscription service where for $60 a month, you get 2 to 3 items at 5-4 delivered to your door. That includes shipping. And it's an easy way for guys to shop and enjoy style and kind of begin their style journey.
So this has been a long journey. Been in business for 15 years. It's evolved a lot. How did you find that perseverance to just keep going and try new things and eventually have it work?
I think from day one, we had this mission to change the way that men dressed. And even though we had no idea how we were going to get there, we were just driven by the idea of creating something that was our own brand that reflected our lifestyle. And for the first 10 years of our business, we were a traditional wholesale and retail model, like Dee said. When we
pivoted to this 5-4 club concept in 2012, we thought that we finally saw the light, where we were able to take all the pitfalls from the traditional clothing business, and we're able to adapt to kind of like the new medium in terms of how consumers were actually shopping and how we felt that the customer wanted to be curated and where the customer was going, essentially.
Yeah, and I'm sure it felt a little risky to do something that really hasn't been done before. It's so much easier to look at what's worked for other people and be like, oh, I'm just gonna like copy that, you know, not reinvent the wheel. But you guys are, in a sense, reinventing the wheel. So how did you know that there was actually opportunity there?
I think for the first 10 years of our business, we'd always followed the traditional path. And we've listened to too many people where they were like, this is how you launch an apparel brand. This is how you get into stores. Finally, we woke up one day and said, hey, none of this is working for us. We got to find our own path. And ultimately, that's what led down to the club. And I think the fact that we kind of got out of the comfort zone of what everyone tells you to do and you do your own thing is actually when we started seeing results.
Yeah, you were zigging where other people were zagging, and it came together and worked really well for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what did you learn from spending many years in the more traditional space of fashion?
I think from a foundation basis, we obviously learn the basics. We learn how to manufacture, we learn how to design, to merchandise, to market somewhat to consumers. But more importantly, we learn like the backbone of how the traditional clothing business is ran, which is traditionally driven by design and manufacturing. From a perspective of like how that comes into what we do today, there's a lot of things that transfer, but there's a lot of things that don't. So I think, you know, we're able to transfer what's important, but at the same time, what was exciting is that we kind of started new. And I think it's okay to kind of like disrupt yourself. And it's okay to, you know, it's like when people die, there's new people that come in that are supposed to, whatever.
It's all evolving.
Yeah. It's all evolving.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
So for us, we saw that evolution. We weren't necessarily scared, and our attitude is always just do it. And we don't like to think too much about things and just do it. If it works, great. You keep evolving and iterating. If it doesn't work, cool. You learn from it and then you figure out what to do next.
Yeah, a lot of entrepreneurship is just trying new things and seeing what works and then going with that.
Yeah.
So going back to, you said design and manufacturing are very important, whether or not you're doing the traditional model or you're being innovative. So what are a couple key components to being successful in those two areas, design and manufacturing?
I think that in design, just first is knowing what you want, right? So if there's an idea of how you can make something better, then great. Really understanding the manufacturing process helps you to design things better because you know what you can and cannot do. And, you know, obviously, like he said earlier, when people a lot of time try to tell you what to do or what direction to go in, you know, you have to take advice with like a grain of salt where you take things into consideration, but at the end of the day, you need to do what you want to do. And for us, you know, design and manufacturing is a bit kind of at the core of our business. And the way that we look at the future is that that is always going to be the core nucleus, but in terms of what's consumer facing, it's going to be about the experience. So from a design perspective, our thesis is how can we make things at the best quality possible and offer it to the consumer at the best price as well.
Yeah. All right. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Andres Izquieta and Dee Murthy. They are the co-founders of 5-4 Club. So you want to make quality products at a good price point. With that in mind, where did you start when it came to manufacturing?
So that's actually a really funny story because I think a lot of younger people can relate. Actually, you can't relate to how we found them, but we actually found our first manufacturer in the Yellow Pages.
Oh, wow.
So literally,
I remember those days.
So it was a big yellow book and you found people to do things. And we literally just found the biggest ad. They said screen printing in LA. And that's,
they must know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're the biggest ad. So, I mean, needless to say, that wasn't a pleasant experience. But I think what we did that was always strong is that we just got out there. We just asked questions and we went to China. We went to India. We went to all these countries.
So you actually met the people who were going to be making your
clothing. We were never afraid to go and talk to people and ask them to help us. And I think that's how we really started the manufacturing process. We started with that screen printer that led us to a sewer, that led us to a hat maker, that led us to a denim maker, that led us to a fabric mill. Like, you know, we just kind of...
Really kind of the old-fashioned way. Yes. Just a word of mouth and referrals and that kind of thing, which is still underrated today. Like, that is so important.
Yeah, there's so many...
Today.
Exactly. And there's so many businesses even today, like, they're making product, but they've never been to the factory. They don't understand the process. Like, we actually sat and learned every little process in the apparel business in the more traditional way. And I think that's what we appreciate, the whole process on a daily basis and what it takes to get great product to your customer.
Yeah. And you have a very distinct, recognizable brand. What is the messaging behind your brand that you're really trying to connect with your customer on? Whoever wants to.
Yeah. I think, you know, for us, it's really about driving this concept of discovery and being an explorer and being the modern man. To us, trying new things is kind of like an habitual thing. And to really have that kind of mindset where, like, the way that we see our customer, you know, our customer is a guy that is, you know, trying to find out what the cool new things are, what, you know, where the great places to go eat are. He uses Uber or Lyft. He goes on Postmates, goes on Amazon Prime, this, that, and the other.
Yeah, so you've really thought about your customer in detail. You know, what companies he...
Yeah, because if you think about the premise of 5-4 Club is that we send you basically two items that are a surprise in a box.
Yeah.
And you have to trust us that we're going to do the best job possible in curating that package and that experience for you. So with that in mind, the mindset, I think, is where things first start. And really that concept of wanting to be an explorer is a kind of key front and center in that.
So your business has evolved a lot. Tell me about those key points where you were evolving and disrupting yourself and the industry and how you knew there was actually opportunity there.
I think the biggest pivotal moment was in 2008. It was like the beginning of the recession. And we got in a week's time, I'm not going to name the retailers, but one returned $2 million of goods. Another one didn't pay their bills. And another one went bankrupt.
Yikes.
When that happened, we were like, this business model is broken. Like, because you can't make money. There's no point in continuing on. So that, I think, was an aha moment where we were like, we're classic Americana, the modern version of it in our apparel kind of vision. And those brands that Macy's and Nordstrom's had carried, your Ralph Lauren's, your Tommy Hilfiger's, they were never going to make room for a brand like ours. So we had to go find a new distribution model so that we can grow our business to speak to the customer because those retailers weren't allowing us. So I think that really was the moment when we realized we had to change the way we thought about the world when it came to fashion.
Yeah, and for entrepreneurs that are new or aspiring watching this that may or may not be in the fashion industry, what advice do you have for paying attention to where there could be opportunity to disrupt the industry, but have it still be a calculated risk?
I think you just have to look at the market, look at products, see what product is out there, look at your personal experience, see how you experience things. Your distribution platform of that product. Is it something that you buy offline? Is it something that you buy online? And I think more importantly is like, how do you talk to your customer when selling this product? Now with online and social and this, that, and the other, you're able to speak to your customer in a very different way than it was like 5-10 years
right.
ago. So there's so many cool new ideas or new ways to present certain options where before that didn't exist because technology was not there. When looking at things, being able to kind of see that. And then if it's a consumer product, like something that's tangible, really understanding how to make something is super important. Like go to the factory, sit there and watch, learn. Like he said, don't just sit behind a keyboard and see things. Like I've been in this business now for 15 years. And for instance, I was in Guatemala this week for denim and I learned something there. And I'd been to like, I don't know, 50 to 75 denim factories. But I learned something new.
Yeah.
So you always have to be able to adapt.
Oh, such good stuff. Guys, thank you so much for coming in. My guests, Andres Izquieta and Dee Murthy, they are the co-founders of 5-4 Club. And we are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Want to be among the elite on top of the mountain? Start adopting these traits and habits that the successful do differently. Hi, folks. I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, they surround themselves with supporters. They have friends and people in their inner circle that help them grow, get better, and achieve their biggest goals and dreams in life. The best of the best know how vitally important it is to surround themselves with a team of like-minded individuals who are going to help them win in all facets of life. Number two, they constantly expand their vision. Instead of letting their past mistakes, failures, and hardships define their destiny, they constantly expand their vision as to what's possible. They know that as long as they're still breathing and get the opportunity to live another day, there's more to do and achieve. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
If you've fallen behind on your taxes, you know that the IRS is already coming for their money. And they'll get it, too, by garnishing your wages or maybe even taking your home or business. They call it enforced compliance. And you'd better watch out because the penalties and interest compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. You need to call the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Solving tax issues is all they do. One call to Optima starts the process to stop the demand letters and stop aggressive collection actions. They get to work immediately, fighting to protect your assets and helping you put your tax problems behind you. The IRS writes off millions every year, and Optima knows all the ins and outs of the IRS's tax assistance programs that could save you thousands. So what are you waiting for? Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-608-0955. 800-608-0955. 800-608-0955.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 11ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.11ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 11ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
How do you know if getting a celebrity endorsement is the right move for your business and your brand? Joining us to answer that question is Lindsay Carnett. She's the CEO and president of Marketing Maven. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Thanks for having me.
So how do we know if it's the right move for our business?
I'll give you a buyer beware. So having a celebrity involved with your business can be a blessing, but it can also be a curse. So you have to determine, one, do you know your target audience? So if you know that you have a viable brand, you have a specific target audience, then and only then can you really determine which celebrity should I even invite to the table? And then how do you present your business well enough to make it interesting for them?
So a lot of the times what I see is a business and a brand that has a product, a service, and an offer that is in alignment with something a celebrity is in alignment with. For example, maybe a celebrity has had cancer or health problems.
Yep.
And a company has the product or the service that provides the solution to the cancer or the health problem. Then there's synergy there and it makes sense. And it doesn't seem like it's a cop out and a sellout on either part. But there's actually congruency and alignment there. So is something like that. Like if you're a business, you have a product and a service, and there's a celebrity out there who's in alignment and is very congruent with the values, the beliefs, and the offer, that would be something that would make sense.
You have to know how to tap into the heartstrings of the celebrity, and it will help you sweeten your deal.
Exactly. Like if they've already gone through the problem, maybe your business was the one that did help them. Who knows? If you're at that level, right? Maybe you, maybe you're the one that helped that person and then you could reach out to them. Maybe not. In a lot of cases, that's probably not going to be the situation. So let's say that I'm a small business, right? Maybe I'm doing anywhere between $1 million to $5 million or less. How would I know? Give us some contextual examples. Maybe you've helped people do this. Just like I'm a small business. I'm not a big company with a big budget. I'm a small business and I'm looking to maybe capitalize on leveraging influencers and celebrities?
Sure. So first of all, it's researching where are these people and what other deals do they have on the table. So one example is just, I mean, we have a nonprofit called WaterAid. WaterAid America, it's a huge organization. It's a global organization. And they're looking to align with celebrities that are from different parts of the world. So, for example, they just built a whole facility in, they installed toilets. It's all for women's health. So they're looking for a woman of Colombian descent. So Sofia Vergara would be a huge fit for them, but we first have to check what other nonprofits they're associated with. A lot of athletes, for example, will have their own foundation and it's, you know, they have their golf events and everything. So we first have to make sure nothing's conflicting and then go in with the ask. And a lot of times it's having that person experience your brand. So we did a Norwegian design tour with Ty Pennington and it was not a, a formal endorsement by any means, but to have him embrace that culture really made a difference with how the level of interest that he had working with different companies.
So I love that you brought up research because I think that's the first thing you have to do is you have to research to see maybe they're already doing something with another nonprofit and it looks a little weird if somebody's supporting all of these nonprofits. So I love that you brought up the research part. How do we go about reaching out to them though? So let's say we've done our research. Now we've found somebody that we think might be a fit or we have a couple candidates we want to reach out to. What's the best way to do that?
I know that all of the agents and all of the managers will hate me for saying this, but my most success has come from actually reaching out to that person directly.
To the celebrity?
So, A lot of times you can't do that, though. Yeah. So, but if there is some sort of in that you have to go to them directly,
yeah.
if it's something that speaks to them and pulls on their heartstrings, yeah. then it's probably not going to pull on the heartstrings of the agent and not going to pull on the heartstrings of the manager because there's
like
no money involved.
Like their job's like the attorney. It's to right. say no to everything.
Right, exactly. So you want to try and go as directly as possible if it's okay. something that you know that you've researched really well. It will help this person emotionally somehow, and, yeah. and there is that connection.
Fantastic. So you got to get ultimately to them, ideally in the ideal world, and then leverage the emotional side, again, based on research. So a lot of businesses out there, they may or may not be spending money on marketing, mm-hmm. but there's some very key important metrics and numbers to look at when you're getting into the marketing game. What are they?
Lifetime value of the customer and cost to acquire a customer.
Okay, so I'm a business owner. Mm-hmm. I'm either already spending money on my marketing, mm-hmm. or I'm just getting ready. Maybe a lot of my businesses come from word of mouth.
Sure.
And I'm getting clients. I don't necessarily know where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. I'm a little nervous to start spending my money. You and I both help people,
yes.
help businesses with consulting, specifically on the areas of sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. I see people all the time. I go into their business. I'm going to help them grow, generate more leads, and convert more leads. Mm-hmm. So first question is, what's your customer acquisition cost? And a lot of people don't know how to answer that. So why is that so important?
Because you need to know when you are spending your money, how to get a new customer into your funnel. And you need to know how much to spend. So basically, we marketing professionals like to back into the numbers and figure out, all right, what are your revenue goals? Yeah. How many people do you need to get in your funnel so that you figure out what is your cost per acquisition? So to acquire a new customer means a lot of different things for different companies. It means more if you're a continuity-based business, for example. But, you know,
because then you know the lifetime value, you can project that out.
Exactly. And you can figure out, you might be spending at a loss initially, but if the people are staying on your program for X number of months, it grows. So that's the whole value of,
like, if you know your lifetime value, for example, to keep it super easy, if we were just going to say, it cost us $20 mm-hmm. to acquire a customer.
Right.
But we know that customer in 90 days is worth $100 to us.
Right.
How much, right? Or if we just knew, forget the customer acquisition cost. If we knew the customer was worth $100 in 90 mm-hmm. days, how much could we spend to acquire them?
Right. You would want to spend probably 50, not 20,
depends,
or
right?
you could yeah. spend, I mean, insurance companies are paying a huge amount of money per lead
yeah.
to acquire that customer because that customer, the lifetime value is so high.
Yeah.
So it's all relative based on what that lifetime value of that customer is.
Lindsay, thanks for coming
Great.
On the show.
Thanks.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We connect a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Williams Paisley. When my mother was diagnosed with dementia, we didn't know where to turn. For my family, the decision to move her into long-term care was heart-wrenching. From the start, I wish we'd known about the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. Their free, unbiased resources can help you get smart about insurance before you buy. For information you can trust, contact your state insurance commissioner. or visit insureuonline.org. That's insure, the letter U, online.org.
A promise was made. A promise that hit the beaches of Normandy. A vow that captured Iwo Jima. A contract that weathered Tet. A pledge that stormed the desert in Iraq. An IOU that braved IEDs in Kandahar. A promise was made to America's veterans. DAV fights to keep that promise so all veterans and their families get the benefits and support they earned. For help, visit DAV.org.